Bobby Bones, your ACM win.
Grind.
ACM.
Congrats, Bobby Bones.
Repeat.
National Air Personality
of the Year, baby.
Come on.
Win.
Love you.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Yeah, I like it.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up. This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
Hey, everybody. More studio.
Morning.
Welcome to Friday's show. The Black Crowes will be in, which is pretty exciting.
Amazing.
For me, pretty exciting for Eddie. You know, we grew up in the 90s, and they were humongous. Here is a little bit of She Talks to Angels, which is what they're going to play today. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah.
We're going to do a bonus draft today. Bobby Bones Show draft.
Perfect.
Yeah. And we'll also do the Friday morning dance party, so today's going to be real good. That being said, let's get going with What's the Haps.
Hey, what's the haps?
Let's see what's happening in everybody's life. Amy, you're up first.
Okay, so today after work, I'm going to go to my son's school and my daughter's, but there's a book fair going on all week, so they had parents signing up to come read to the class, and the teacher reached out, and there was a time slot I could do after the show, so I'm going up to school to read. But then I also realized, after I get done reading, that'd be right around, I think, my daughter's lunchtime. So I thought about surprising her at lunch, but she's in sixth grade. So it's
borderline.
I don't know.
Too cool.
Right.
Borderline.
I mean, I know my son is pumped that I'm coming to read, but he's in second grade. But should I try for dinner with, or lunch with my daughter, or she's going to act like she doesn't know me?
Let me start with this. What book are you going to read?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know yet. Well, that's in like a couple hours.
I figured they have it when I get
there.
Oh,
is that it? You have to show up a clip for the Big Red Dog?
Probably something from the book fair, I assume.
The book fair used to be the greatest thing in the school.
Yeah.
You would go, and I'd save up, and I'd go with like $11, and I would walk in and do supermarket sweep in the book fair. And be allowed to take these bookmarks, this poster. They would set up a bookstore mm-hmm. in the library that you could buy books. It was amazing. And to a nerd like me, that was it.
Did you buy like real books?
Yeah. Oh. But real books though back in the day were Judy Blume stuff.
Right.
I'm talking about first and second grade.
Right.
Yeah, I was buying Amelia Bedelia's, A Little House on the Prairie.
The good stuff.
Why were all my books girl books thinking back?
Oh.
Interesting.
You're like, I didn't think about that.
Right now I just had a little minor breakthrough here. Your daughter in sixth grade, I think you have to try. But you'll know from now on if she doesn't like it.
Okay.
But you have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already there.
Yeah.
I just be like, hey.
No. Oh, that may not be the move.
Just peek your head in there.
Can't you send her a text on her watch?
Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm going to come have lunch with you today. You cool with that? I would do that.
Okay.
Scrap the, hey, I'm here.
Your mom's here.
Oh, boy.
I brought Chick-fil-A.
Can you take food in?
Good question. This is my first time.
No.
This is my first time going up to school because remember I felt bad. There was all this volunteer stuff that they wanted you to sign up for, and I was like, I'm not a volunteer mom. I don't have time, and I feel bad. Like I'm not going to volunteer, but y'all made me feel okay with that. But something about reading at book fair time seems doable.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't mom shame.
Thank you. Except, I do not either.
Except you probably
just a little bit.
Hey, what's the hat?
Do you ever do Instagram cleanup? Where you go and spot check people that you think are following you, and if they're not, you unfollow them?
Oh.
I know. I did a cleanup the other day, but I just unfollowed people I didn't understand. I don't know. It's a lot of companies I just started following because I wanted to remember their products and, like, try them out. So I did a cleanup the other day and got rid of, like, 100 people. But I've never...
100 people.
Yeah. But I do... No, I haven't. I mean, I've noticed sometimes when people aren't following me, but I don't unfollow them for that.
Yeah, and I'm always a little irritated when I'm following them and I knew they were following me and I go up and they're not following me
anymore. Yeah, because like why did they quit following
you?
Yeah,
what's the deal? So I had to knock a few of those out. So,
oh man, good for you.
Like four of them. One was a girl I used to date a little bit.
Well, that makes sense.
That has been a long time. But I thought, but we didn't, it wasn't bad when we stopped dating. And it's been forever. And then I was like, fine, unfollow. Another one was like somebody from work. Anyway, so I'll just spot check people and be like, they still follow me? Yep, okay, we all good. You know what else is annoying? When someone opens my Instagram stories and doesn't go through all of them.
How do you know that?
You can see.
I'll look.
But you'd look through all the names?
It doesn't show you when your friends are looking through?
Not friends, everyone.
Yeah, mine will show me anybody that I know is up first.
Okay.
And so if I see, for example, Eddie, that I have seven... IG stories up and you only went through three of them, and for some reason you checked out of them before. I'm like, what a loser.
Well, sometimes the phone rings.
Yeah, I'm always like, Eddie, what like, a losery loser you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I got distracted, man. I got distracted.
Yeah, or get
something
distracted.
Else.
But I do that. I know I'm holding people accountable in ways that aren't fair. Or is it?
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, I was doing that last night. That's all. I just wanted to share. Hey.
Hey, what's the hat?
Eddie.
I wanted to shout out my son's teacher because we had his birthday party this past weekend, and we invited her just to be really nice, you know, whatever. And she showed up. Like, teachers never show up to birthday parties. And she just, you know, I said, yeah, I know that you, the last thing you want to do on your day off is come hang out with kids. She's like, nope, I love this. And thank you for the invitation. Oh, so maybe if you don't think about inviting a teacher, you should.
Did your kid think it was cool the teacher was there?
Yes.
Man, I would see a teacher outside of class and it was like I saw Bigfoot.
Right, at the grocery store.
What is Mr. Tollison doing at Pizza Hut? Teachers eat pizza?
That's so true.
And my friends will be like, dude, you're in 11th grade. You need to grow up. Thank you. I'll be here all week to tell your friends. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. That's What's the Haps. Hey.
Hey. What's the Haps?
Big fun show today for sure.
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
It's time for a bonus Bobby Bones Show draft. How this works is we all take turns drafting. For example, today's going to be movies based on true stories. And so we go in order. We all pick our favorite. And today it'll be movie based on a true story. And then the person with the best team, as voted by our listeners, wins the competition for the day. Are you ready to play?
Love it.
Yes.
The first pick is Morgan number two. Now, movies based on a true story. You have the first overall pick, Morgan number two. Who are you drafting?
I have to go with this one. I just feel like it's the best choice. It's Titanic.
Strong.
I have to.
Real strong.
Yeah. Was that everybody's first pick?
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't mine.
Really?
Really?
Mine is still on the board.
Okay.
Although that was probably my second one. It's a good one. Titanic strong. Raymundo, movies based on a true story.
Will Smith was amazing in it. The Pursuit of Happiness.
That's a good
one.
Great.
Good. Yeah!
That was just a real good movie. Even if that was fake, that's a good movie. Like, good as a real movie, better because it was real.
Yeah.
But even if it was a fictional tale, it'd have been good. Okay. Well, I hate to do it to you guys.
What?
But really, I love doing it to you. In the first... What, Amy?
Go for it.
In the first round, my selection is Passion of the Christ.
Dang. Forgot about that movie.
Boom.
Oh, you went the story of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that one? That's a heavy one, boys and girls. Woo!
Yeah, you got us on that one.
Amy?
Walk the Line.
That's a good one, too. Oh, man. Johnny Cash. Wow. Eddie?
I'm running out of movies, guys, but I'm going to have to go with the best football movie ever. Rudy! Rudy!
It's a good
Rudy!
One. There it is.
Yeah!
It's a good one. Okay, so that's the first round. These are all movies based on true stories. Morgan went with Titanic. Ray went with Pursuit of Happiness. I went with Passion of the Christ. What are you laughing at?
Because you got us. It's a good one.
Amy went with Walk the Line. Sneakily good, too, though, yes. I have to say. And Eddie went with Rudy. All right, Eddie, we're coming back over to you because you went last the first round. We go backward this way. Who is the second teammate of yours?
I'm going to go with one of my favorite movies ever. As a kid, I wanted to be him when I grew up. Richie Valens, La Bamba.
Oh, wow. Good one.
I see what you're doing, Eddie.
What's
you're targeting
that?
The sports community, and now you're going after the Hispanics. Oh, I like perfect. It. You're targeting. I like it. Amy.
The Blind Side.
Good movie.
Solid. Okay. Is it over to me? What's the movie called... Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, that one's good.
That's my next one.
Yeah.
Do we have the ref in for this one?
Oh, yeah. We didn't bring Scuba Steven.
No.
Wait, is Saving Private Ryan not real?
Is it real?
Let us go to Scuba Steve, our referee. Scuba Steve. It's the first time we've ever had to call in Scuba Steve for this.
It's based on a real war that happened. But,
well, yeah.
Right, but... Right?
Yeah, it's up to Steve.
Eddie, I know the people in The Blind Side. Like, I'm friends with the kids.
Yeah, that's true. That was
not
a
exactly
true story.
Right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But it is based on his story.
Hey, Scuba Steve, the question is, because I drafted Saving Private Ryan,
in movies based on true stories.
Yes.
Is that an acceptable pick as referee?
I was looking online while you were talking about it, and I'm going to blow the whistle.
Oh.
It says it was based on a fictional account.
Dang!
It's based on D-Day.
Well, I mean, that's a storyline, but if you're going to go based on the character itself.
Well, Eddie's movie's not real.
Excuse me?
Or Amy's. Whoever picked The Blind Side, I literally know the people that are in The Blind Side, and they're like, that's a lot of that's fiction.
Okay, but it's literally about their family and the boy that
but
came to live with them.
It's literally about D-Day.
No, it's literally about, I think there's a difference in a tie. It wasn't like
Private
The Blind
Ryan wasn't
Side.
Real, dude.
What I'm saying, I'll pick a different one, but I'm saying, there's a lot of fiction in both
of
them.
I'm sure in Walk the Line there's some stuff
that's
fluff.
I mean, in Hollywood films, they always fluff a lot anyways to add more of a storyline, a fake storyline and stuff. But I think that this one, unfortunately, Bobby, I had to take it from you.
Dang.
I mean, I would like for you to keep yours, but don't hate on mine.
But yours has fiction in it, too, so what's the level?
So does Walk the Line, I'm sure, and so does, what did Eddie pick? Rudy.
You leave La Bamba and Rudy alone.
Okay.
Okay, I have to pick another one. I'm going to go with Remember the Titans.
Perfect.
Is that okay? Because
yes.
I know there's a lot of fiction to it.
Hey, we have a ref here for a reason.
I know. I feel gypped in that one. I do.
Bobby, don't
it's based
you see
on
where it would work? But it would work if Ryan was real. Private Ryan.
Let's not take away from what you just picked. What'd you pick again?
Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans.
That's a good one.
Whatever. I'm not even going to spoil Amy's pick because I know there were characters in that movie that absolutely weren't real, too.
Oh.
But it's based on the story of that Michael Orr.
And this is based on D-Day.
But who? Okay. Listen, I would like for you to get it. Just stop hating on mine. I'm getting defensive because you're hating on mine.
I'm just proving yours for the same reason.
Just because you know
Hold
Tui.
On, Scuba Steve, what's up? He's coming
so
back.
Based on further review.
Oh, great.
Oh, boy.
I have found here.
Go ahead.
That Bobby, your pick will be valid. According to the intranets, it says that, yes, it is a fictional account, but the premise behind Captain Miller's mission is based on a true story.
There you go.
So I will give it to you. You can have that one back.
Thank you very much.
You're
I
welcome.
Fought for it, and I got it. Thank you.
The booth reviewed, and we're going to give it to you.
The booth review. Wow.
So I get Saving Private Ryan?
Yes.
Thank goodness. Oh, you guys are haters.
Do you realize I was on your side until you started to hate? Yes, I was.
Nobody's on my side ever in life.
That's not
come
true.
On.
Me
that's
versus
not true.
The world.
Right, when you picked
Eddie?
It, I was like, that's a good one.
Am I up now?
No.
No.
I quit. Who else is playing?
Ray.
Ray?
My favorite movie, I've seen it 100 times. Leo was great in it. Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah!
He loves that movie.
Yeah, he does.
Jordan Belfort.
Morgan?
I'm going to go with American Sniper.
Oh, that's a good one.
Titanic Innards, I refuse one.
I don't know. Mine are good. I got Christ and War, too.
Oh, yeah, yours are good, too.
Amy's hating on me hard today.
How am I hating on you?
Wow.
Eddie?
For the last one, I'm going to do mine in honor of Lunchbox since he's not here. I'm going to do Braveheart.
Okay. Is that true?
Oh, William Wallace, of course. Look it up.
Wait.
What?
It was my pick.
Braveheart?
I'm supposed to go again. It's coming back to you.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not We're picking, all over the
I'm
place.
Not picking, Amy threw me off with her protesting here. Okay. Morgan, I'm going to take your pick. Pick Braveheart, please.
Do not pick Braveheart.
I'm not going to.
Okay,
I'm going to pick A League of Their Own.
Okay, good. Raymundo?
Gonna do this for the women out there. It's a great movie. You gotta see it. Aaron Brockovich. Julia Roberts was just phenomenal.
Solid.
So good.
I'm gonna go with Remember the Titans.
All right.
That I picked last round. I'm gonna take it again. Amy?
Catch Me If You Can.
Eddie, final pick.
And lastly, for Lunchbox, Braveheart.
All right. Let me see the teams here. As my stepdad would say, that whole draft was kind of a cluster. We had to call in the ref. He reversed it, then reversed his reversal.
We had our first booth review, man. It's pretty good.
Well, it got reviewed, then that review got reviewed.
Yeah.
Okay, here are your picks. Morgan has Titanic, American Sniper, and A League of Their Own.
Oh, so good.
Raymundo has Pursuit of Happiness, Wolf of Wall Street, and Aaron Brockovich. I have Passion of the Christ, Saving Private Ryan, and Remember the Titans. Amy has Walk the Line, The Blind Side, Catch Me If You Can. And Eddie has Rudy, La Bamba, and Braveheart.
That's right.
Vote for the team that you like the best. Look at all three of them. Go to BobbyBones.com. You have 12 hours to vote. BobbyBones.com.
Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Let's go over to our producer, Raymundo. Raymundo, what you got over there?
In health news, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said they do not recommend that people who are well wear a face mask to protect themselves from the coronavirus. In Plymouth, Massachusetts, police revealed a 17-year-old boy is facing 11 felony counts of vandalism for trespassing and spray painting Plymouth Rock red. And finally, in Orlando at Disney World, the Jungle Cruise boat started sinking with passengers on board. Everyone on board was rescued safely, so that's good news.
Somebody set their house on fire by microwaving an entire package of Oreos. I just would never put. First of all, who thinks they want hot? First of all, let's rewind that. Who even thinks about putting having Oreos hot?
Well, I mean, not that you mention it.
But I mean, have you ever thought about having warm Oreos?
Never crossed my mind.
Never.
I never thought about eating warm Oreos, but I guess you could actually heat them up, maybe put them in ice cream or something, like warm Oreos in the cold ice cream. But the guy set his home on fire by microwaving an entire package of Oreos. The wrapper, the plastic wrap, the container around the cookies, everything.
Yeah, that's not good.
According to the fire department, the small amounts of metal and the printing on the package sparked, caused a fire in the microwave and spread to the rest of the home. Significant damage, but fortunately no one was hurt. Now, has everyone set something to fire accidentally before? Because I have once.
Yes.
When I was in sixth grade, I was practicing for a science fair to where I was going to show how you could burn things without it actually burning. And so as one of my practice things, I would take a cloth and I would put it in alcohol and I'd light it on fire. But what it would do is it'd burn off the outside of the alcohol and the cloth would be untouched. So I was practicing at home because I wanted to not only show this, but I wanted to do like magic. I'd be like, vroom, like fire. And I was practicing and I caught the cloth on fire. And instead of dropping it into whatever powder or whatever, it got my hand a little bit. So I just threw it as it was on fire. And it lands on the floor in the kitchen and then starts to catch. Luckily, I went and beat it all down and stomped it all down. But me practicing for a science fair experiment almost caught my house on fire. You?
Well, the paper said that I was in my attic playing with matches and caught my house on fire.
The paper said?
The paper.
That's what the paper said.
The newspaper?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was covered. Like, it was like a fire. I mean, the fire department had to come. Or maybe it was like our neighborhood paper, whatever it was. I was like, no, 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 you got that all wrong. My mom was out of town, and I had friends over that I wasn't supposed to have over.
How old were you?
Oh, I was in junior high, 7th or 8th grade. The boys I had over, they were a year older than me. So they were probably 8th grade. I was in 7th. And I guess they were smoking, and it was a really hot Texas summer day. And they threw, not me, I didn't smoke. They threw a cigarette up on my roof and caught it on fire. And yeah, we were, this just gets worse. Then we were going to take my mom's car to go get something to eat. And when we were backing out of the driveway, I wasn't driving, they were. Oh. When we were backing out of the driveway, we saw smoke. So we pulled back in. We were like, oh shoot, the house is on fire. And we had to call 911 and I got in trouble. Because that's how I got busted. My mom's like, this is why this happened. She's like, I prayed that if I needed to catch you doing anything, that it would go down. And sure enough, like, of course the house got on fire. So I got in trouble. But my sister was the real one in trouble because she was supposed to be taking care of me and she left.
Eddie?
I was in college. I put like a 150-watt bulb in one of those fixtures that go in the ceiling. I thought it just needed brighter lighting. So I put it in there. And like 10 minutes later, I just start smelling. That's fire. And sure enough, it was the ceiling around it was red and there was smoke all like the basement area. Fire department came and like, man, you're lucky you were here. You didn't just leave that on.
Dang.
That's scary.
Morgan, you ever catch something on fire?
No, not like on accident. On purpose, yes.
Oh boy, now we find out that she's an arsonist.
Here we go. You poured gas around the house.
What?
An ex-boyfriend, the last guy. Uh-oh. We haven't seen him since.
No.
Burned all his clothes.
What'd you do?
I, not my recent ex, but an ex in high school, I did burn some of his clothes that I had.
Dang!
What? Like a picture to burn?
It was like something that he had given me that I just didn't want anymore.
You burned clothes?
You throw it away? You had to burn it?
She had a ceremony.
Bones, that's a different level.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There was a bonfire and just thought it was a good time to let go.
Huh.
What do you think about people that burn clothes?
Well, I look at Morgan a little differently when she says that. Do you get a little crazy?
I was
crazy?
In high school.
Do you get crazy?
I was in high school. It was my first serious relationship, and I got cheated on. So there was a lot of emotions that I was feeling that I really didn't know how to handle.
So you burn things. But that's what most arsonists do. They don't know how to handle their emotions, so they burn stuff.
Wow. I have not, since that day, done that.
Wow.
It was just the lack of judgment in the one moment. Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm scared of her now.
Yeah, me too. I'll see her next year.
Yes. Let's do Fun Fact Friday right now.
Fun Fact Friday. Yay!
So this is a spinoff from when Amy would do Fun Facts every Friday inside the pile. Five fun facts that she has gathered. You've curated this list.
Mm-hmm.
Man, to be a curator. That's my goal one day, to curate something, anything. Here we go.
Number five.
So I was a big fan of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which I know you were too. But do you know how that story even came about?
Which part? Because I know many of the stories that
came
about.
Okay, well, the idea for the TV show actually came from a music manager named Benny Medina, who grew up in poor East Los Angeles, then became friends with a rich kid from Beverly Hills, and then moved in with the family. And then that's how they got the idea from the show. So it's based on something that really happened to someone, although in the show, The Fresh Prince came from Philadelphia. And then it got canceled at season 4 and came back. Had a total of 6 seasons.
Did you know that it was originally meant for Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff? And then Jeff was like, I don't want to do the show. And he just came back as a side character.
Ooh, bonus fact.
They also switched moms in the middle of it because Will Smith couldn't stand the original mom. They got into it big time.
Crazy.
There's a lot of those. James Avery, the dad on the show, was also the voice of Shredder in the Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Really?
What? I didn't know that.
We could do this all day, folks.
Wow. Come on.
Yeah, I got fun facts out there. We got a spinoff of this called Fresh Prince Fun Facts. All right, there you go.
Number four.
So the reason that there's a top 40 for songs is because jukeboxes in the 50s used to hold exactly 40 songs. Mm-hmm.
So it would be the top 40 songs. Now, when people go pop music, too, that's a bit misleading because when you think of pop music, you go, well, that's the most bubblegum, bing-boing kind of music. What that really means is it's the most popular songs from all genres. So it's the biggest rock songs. It's the biggest hip-hop songs. It's the biggest country songs. So what pop is obviously stands for popular. Sometimes pop music is what you think of when you think of pop music, the Katy Perry, Britney Spears type stuff. But then sometimes pop music is Billie Eilish right now, who's considered alternative. Black Crowes will be in later. They were pop for a second whenever they had She Talks to Angels, Three Doors Down. It's all over the place. So top 40 was about an actual quantity in a jukebox, which is a format still, top 40. They just call it that. Same thing with pop. It just means popular. There you go. Boom.
Number three.
So the four American time zones didn't become standard until 1883 when the railroads needed them to run on time. Until that moment, different towns just kept their own time based on the sun.
Wow.
Right.
That kind of rocks.
You have to ask all the time, what time is it?
Right. Like, no, in railroads were like, wait a second, we can't operate this way because everywhere we go, everybody's on a different time. And so they came up with the four different time zones.
Pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Did you, earlier when I was reading through stuff, you heard me say, wow. And that, you were like, what is it? And I was like, fun fact. You'll hear it later. But that was I wowed that one because I had no idea.
That was pretty fun. Not going to lie.
I know.
Number two.
So mixing alcohol with diet soda gets people tipsy faster because, unless you do regular soda, because the sugar in regular soda slows down the effects of alcohol. So if you are looking to catch a buzz, mix it with Diet Coke over regular Coke.
The problem with mixing it with Diet Coke is Diet Coke tastes like poop.
Mm. Oh, really? See, I don't have sodas anymore or Cokes, but when I did, I much preferred the taste of Diet Coke over regular Coke. Oh, so good.
Are you a psycho murderer?
No, I'm not.
Sounds disgusting.
Number one.
And in retail stores, slow music is played to keep you shopping and spending more, so be aware of that. Also, in restaurants, fast music is played to speed up turnaround because they want to turn tables quick.
Wow.
Didn't know that.
So see if you notice that at some places. Mm-hmm. Obviously not every shopping place and restaurant participates, but if you're trying to turn tables around, maybe speed up the music.
I saw your Instagram story last week where you were going into Trader Joe's, a grocery store here, and she's like, I wonder if I'll see Bobby.
Yeah.
I've only been like 3 times ever.
You don't live there?
I don't live there.
I know, but when you talked about it, you were like, the grocery store is so amazing.
I had no idea they offered so many products.
So I was like,
At the gas station, they don't have that many products, okay? So let's all relax. That's Fun Fact Friday. Thank you.
Fun Fact Friday. Yay!
Bobby Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Kelsea Ballerini shared the track listing for her upcoming new album out on March 30th, featuring collaborations with Kenny Chesney as well as pop artist Halsey. Plus, she dropped a new song called Hole in the Bottle.
There's a hole.
Jason Aldean doesn't like releasing individual songs. He prefers making entire albums.
It's hard to get a vibe from an artist if you only, you know, you're only hearing 5-6 songs. I don't want to make records as long as I can make them.
The ACM Awards nominees were announced yesterday. Keith Urban will be the show's host, and Luke Bryan, Eric Church, Luke Combs, Thomas Rhett, and Carrie Underwood are all up for Entertainer of the Year. You can see the full list at BobbyBones.com. I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So I want to tell you about Lego Grandma.
Lego Grandma.
Yes, her name is Rita Ebel, and she has been in a wheelchair for 25 years since she was in a car accident. And she started to realize a lot of businesses, she would want to go inside, but she got frustrated because she couldn't get in. No ramp for her wheelchair. So she spends hours a day building these Lego ramps, and they're super cute, and they're really colorful and bright, and she donates them to businesses so that they can put them out front, and that way people with wheelchairs, it's more accessible. And businesses really love them because it's colorful and cool, and the Legos, it's not like this ugly little ramp thing, and it actually attracts people that aren't even in a wheelchair because of the bright colors.
I'm surprised these Legos stay together because I'm looking at the ramps. Oh. She built two of them, right?
Yeah, don't worry. She glues them. Ah. She puts it together. It's not just like
smart
Lego. Then she super glues them so that they don't come apart.
Well, it says too, she built these so bold in color to also raise awareness for people.
Mm-hmm.
So when people see them too, they're all like, what is that? And there's a story to be told too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, good for her. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
Let's go over to Eddie, who's filling in for Lunchbox.
So a guy robs a bank in Seattle, right? He doesn't have a getaway car. He just calls a cab. Gets in the cab. He looks in the rear view. He's like, oh my gosh, there's cops following me. Hey, again, get me out. He gets out of the cab. He goes to the bus stop, waits for the bus, hops on a bus and escapes. Cops are like, did we just see him get on a bus? We know where this bus goes. So they went
that's
to the next
funny
stop
that's funny
and waited for him and arrested him. Yeah.
That's funny. Funny, too, that they didn't stop the bus.
No.
They just went to where the bus was
going
to stop.
They're like, guys, we have a bus route. We know where it's going.
I saw a bus get pulled over the other day. And I don't, now I'm curious. I guess I thought, wow, did they do a traffic violation? Because that's annoying if you're on a bus trying to get somewhere and they get pulled over because they didn't use your blinker. But now I'm wondering, was someone on the bus?
Amy, were you in Seattle?
That it was a fugitive? No, no. But I mean, it wasn't my neighborhood, so.
I've been pulled over in an Uber. And it's really annoying.
Yeah,
because it was
me
just
too
a dumb mistake, and then I'm being penalized, having to hang out.
You had nothing to do with
and
it.
And I asked the cop and the driver, hey, can I get out? I just wanted to get out and walk to the corner and get another Uber. And he's like, nah. And I'm just like, come on.
He's like, you're part of this crime now.
Yeah. Oh, my Uber
I'm
driver.
I'm an accessory.
My Uber driver wanted to fight it, and then he gave me his card, and he reached out to me. Because I guess he reached out through my work email because he knew where I worked and wanted me to testify on his behalf. I'm like, I'm out of this.
Crazy.
Like, I don't know if you did anything wrong. I don't know if you turned right on red and you weren't supposed to, but like, I don't want to testify.
That's funny. Eddie, good story.
Thank
there you.
You
go. Wrap it up, Eddie.
And that's your bonehead story of the day.
B-O-B-B-Y. Bones.
I wonder if as a parent, Amy, you empathize with this woman. Or a little bit, you're like, how did you do this?
Okay.
Ready? A mom shared a video of a parenting fail. In the clip, she's driving her kids to school in the morning, but she gets to school and there are no kids in the back seat because she left without them. Left them home.
Yeah. I can empathize with
yeah
that. Not because I've done it, but I can totally see how that happens. Now that I'm a parent, I think before I was a parent, I'd be like, what? How in the world would you do that?
Here you go.
They're not in the car. I'm driving to school without my kids. I'm taking the kids to school and I don't even have them in the car. I have to go back and pick them up.
Mm-hmm. She sounds about right on the border of like similar breakdowns I've been on because you hear the laughter that's also probably with the confusion that's with a lot of things that are happening. And she should be on the lookout for a meltdown. coming soon.
From her?
Right, because I feel like that's when you start to, like, you think you're got your kids in the car and then you don't, and then you're laughing about it and this weird laugh. Like, I recognize that laugh that then later turns into something major.
Oh.
So, yeah, I empathize for sure.
Amy and Eddie's lives have both been changed in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Amy with adopting two kids. They've been here 2 years now.
Yes.
And Eddie with fostering two more kids. Mm-hmm. He has two kids, foster two more. Eddie, can you empathize with that?
Oh, big time. Except now with the four kids, if it's quiet, I know something's wrong. Because they're so loud. They're always yelling. They're always fighting. So, but when I just had my two kids, they could easily be forgotten.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I left them in the car one time and the bug guy had to tell me, like, hey, I think your kid's still in the car outside.
Yeah, I mean, that part's not good. But...
All right. Not proud of that one, but it happened.
Yeah. The Bob and Bone Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So, website put together a list of movies that'll help you actually relax and unwind.
Okay.
So, let me know if any of these do it for you. Finding Nemo.
Never seen it.
What?
I'm not a big movie to unwind guy. I'll watch The Office. That's how I unwind. And movies, it's hard for me to hop in and out of movies. And if I have time, I don't want to invest in a movie that I've already seen. If Old School or Tommy Boy,
oh yeah,
or one of those is on TBS.
Or what about Hitch?
Hitch is a good one, yeah. On TBS. That's good.
Some you don't have to really think about.
I'm just not a movie guy in general, though. Would you guys be a TV show guy or movie guy?
Movie guy.
You?
TV.
Yeah, TV, me too. Give me some more of these real quick. Run them up for our listeners.
Mean Girls, Twilight, Annie, Beauty and the Beast, Elf, and Clueless.
People are watching Beauty and the Beast to wind down? What weirdos said that? All right, what else you got?
So eBay is banning Kobe Bryant items from being sold on their website from the memorial because they're putting a policy preventing sellers from profiting off of human tragedy or suffering.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, there's Monday's event that was at the Staples Center last week. They had, like, an extra large shirt that was up for sale on eBay, and someone bought it for, like, $2,000. And then everyone just got together and decided, you know what? This just doesn't feel right. So,
well,
they're banning it.
Okay. I see that mostly. I guess my only argument would be, what about when someone's value goes way up because they died? Like, an autograph something or a
sure.
picture. I mean,
well, it doesn't prevent Kobe memorabilia from, like, the past, but mm-hmm. it's stuff that is from anything that's made since he passed away.
Or
that
since he passed away.
Stuff that was made because of his tragedy.
How about, like, just stuff at a funeral? You know, if it's at the funeral, you can't auction it off.
Right.
Yeah. I see what they're trying to do. It seems like it's going to be tough to create.
Rein that
yeah.
in.
Yeah, what else?
Yeah. And a woman set the Guinness World Record by going to see Bohemian Rhapsody 108 times.
Whoa. I still haven't seen it.
What I'm curious about is, what's her job?
Yeah, right. What does she do all day?
What's happening here that she can go do this 108 times?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Morgan number two.
Like, she could probably quote the whole movie back, right?
You with
it
108
to.
Times? I would think so, right?
Because we were talking about The Office earlier. I can quote back most episodes of The Office, at least parts of every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only probably seen them 8 or 9 times, but I've seen all 9 seasons. But if you've seen it 100, how many times?
108.
There was also a guy I saw maybe last week, early last week, that set the planking record.
Yeah.
It was like in his 60s.
How long was that for?
8 hours.
Oh my gosh.
I'm almost positive it was 8 hours. He was...
It was something ridiculous.
Was he planking on his elbows or
yes,
hands?
Yes, elbows. A 62-year-old former U.S. Marine broke the world planking record with a time of 8 hours, 15 minutes, and 15 seconds. George Hood set the record for the longest male abdominal plank in Chicago, according to Guinness.
Wow.
Hardcore. That was last week. I was looking at that for hobby. And bring it to the show.
Oh, right. Yeah, 8 hours.
Yeah. 8 hours. Crazy, huh?
That is crazy.
How long do you think you could go?
A plank? Couple minutes, and I know that would be hard. Like, I'm not.
They do planks at my gym. Well, if I go to the boxing class, like, oh, everybody getting a plank, and about 30 seconds into it, I'm like, you know,
I'm out.
No, it's just not my thing. That's something I want to invest a lot of time in here.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
All right, maybe that's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Come on. It's time for the good news.
Tell me something good.
Let's go over to Eddie.
Mike Mitchell was collecting shopping carts at his grocery store job when he sees an envelope on the ground. Inside the envelope is $1,200 cash.
Wow.
What does he do? He doesn't keep it. He turns it in. It has two names on it, Amanda and Terry Grover. So they announce over the intercom, if you're missing anything, Amanda and Terry Grover, come collect it. They show up and it's theirs. It's their rent money. They said they can't believe that they dropped it and they were so thankful that they found it.
Aisle two, if there's anyone that lost $1,200 in cash.
No, I don't think they said that. I was at the grocery store once when they said, I found a $50 bill if anyone wants to claim it.
Oh, they said that straight up?
Yes.
Did everybody go running toward it?
I mean, I was thinking about it. I might go up there and collect that.
And shout out to this guy. Do you know the guy's name again?
Yes, his name is Mike Mitchell. Shout out.
Shout out Mike Mitchell. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Now let's go over to Amy, and she's got the morning corny for us.
The morning corny.
Did you hear about the semicolon that broke the law?
No.
He was given two consecutive sentences.
That's a smart one.
That was the morning corny.
Oh, all the English teachers can tell that one at school today. That was so good.
For those at home, the semicolon, you can insert it, and there can be two statements, full statements.
This is coming from New York Times bestselling author Bobby Bones, twice, two-time.
Not, dude, two-time. You know what? I'm embarrassed. Give me more.
Working on a third.
Give me more. Bobby Bones. You know, yesterday's show, we started a game called What's That Racket? Mostly because I'm jealous that other radio shows have money to give away to their listeners. We don't have a budget for that. We don't have a budget for anything, I guess. If there's a budget, I don't know. I just ask for things and mostly get told no. But people are doing like the secret sound where they offer $1,000 if you can name the secret sound.
So cool.
And then every day it goes up like $100. And I'm like, that's crazy. So we don't have that kind of money. So I'm going to use my own money. We started at $5 yesterday. First girl missed it. Second girl missed it. Mm-hmm. So five and six. We're now to $7.
All right. Big money.
As we play What's That Sound? The video has 1.2 million views on Instagram. You have to tell me what the woman is laughing at, what the secret sound is. No, sorry, what the racket is.
Oh, yeah, the racket.
As we play What's That Racket? All right, let's put on Sarah in Tennessee, who's going to play What's That Racket. Hey, Sarah, are you ready?
I am.
Up for grabs, $7.
Okay.
All right, we're going to play the clip. Listen closely into your phone. Here we go.
All right.
Okay, you heard that. Think about that as we play What's That Racket? All right, Sarah in Tennessee, do you think you can name that racket?
I have like two guesses. I know I only get one, though.
You get one guess. Can you name the racket for $7?
Ooh. Is it a crazy baby?
Well, a crazy baby. Wow. Raymundo, is that a crazy baby? No. Womp, womp, womp. Well, the bad news is you didn't win. The good news is for the next person,
$8.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. As we played What's That Racket? We'll give another shot at this coming up on Monday's show.
The Bobby Bones Show.
We Googled easy trivia for kids. So these are all elementary level questions. Let's play easy trivia. Amy, our video producer, Eddie, Morgan number two. These are all easy. If you get it right, you stay in.
Come
are you
on.
Ready?
Yes.
Ready. By the way, this is a fun home game, too.
Yeah. You can do it on the dinner table, whatever.
Even listening to this, if you're in the car with someone right now, look at them and go, let's see who can last the longest.
Yeah.
I bet you one coffee. Which is not cheap, by the way, either. here we go. Ready, Amy?
Ready.
Easy trivia. Question number one. H2O is the chemical formula for what?
Water.
Correct.
Good job, Amy.
Thank you.
Eddie, what city is the Eiffel Tower in?
Oh, that's Betty.
Just say Paris.
Oh, Paris. Cooper.
Morgan number two, how many inches are in a foot?
12 inches.
Nice, you're all through the first round. That was super easy. Let's see what we do here. Amy, still easy, just a level up. Mm. What does the DC in Washington, DC stand for?
District of Columbia.
Nice.
Eddie.
Come on.
What's the name of the McDonald's clown character?
Ronald. McDonald.
Morgan number two. A millennium is a period of how many years? A millennium.
100 years?
That would be a century.
Oh, how?
A decade is 10, a century is 100, and 1,000 is?
Millennium.
A millennium.
1,000? Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
You've been eliminated, I'm sorry. Amy and Eddie, you're still in the mix here.
Yeah.
Amy, Pearl Harbor, the scene of a famous military attack, is in which American state? Pearl Harbor is in what American state?
Hawaii. 1941. Or two.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Eddie.
Come on.
How many ounces are in a cup? Think about it.
I feel like you've asked me this one before.
Amy knows it, but it doesn't matter. How many ounces are in a cup? Talk it out, Eddie.
I think the last time I guessed it, I said 12, but that's a can, not a cup. And then, I don't know, 6 comes to mind, but then is that too little? I do have a cup in my kitchen drawer that I use to measure stuff.
How many ounces are in a cup?
I would say half a Coke goes into that. So I say 6. Oh, it's 8.
8 ounces.
Dang it. I got it wrong last time.
Yeah, you should study that. By the way, here's our winner. There she is.
Thank
play
you.
Our song. Thank you very much. Do you want the extras?
Sure.
Get them all right, Amy.
Berlin is the capital of what country?
Germany.
Nice.
Ooh.
What does the Roman numeral V represent?
Think about the Rocky movies.
I know.
Oh,
I was thinking 5 or 10, but I think it's 4 or 5.
5, right. Good.
Thank you.
Who revolutionized the automotive industry in the United States?
Ford.
Correct.
Henry Ford.
Ooh. Bond.
Bonus.
James Bond. What pair of superheroes are known as the dynamic duo?
Oh, that I don't know that I know, but
yeah, come on.
Bobby Bones and Eddie and the Raging Boom. Idiots.
We'll accept that answer.
Nailed it.
Okay. Or Batman and Robin. Right. It's either Eddie and I or Batman and Robin. Robin.
Yeah. Close.
By the way, Eddie and I will be in Tampa on Sunday night. Yeah. Plant City for Strawberry Festival outside of Tampa. Get your tickets if you want to come to that big show. Let's do one more. What U.S. state has the largest land area? What state's the biggest?
It's either Texas or California, obviously. Shoot. Texas.
Incorrect.
Ooh. California.
Incorrect.
Oh, Alaska?
By far.
Yeah. I didn't even think. When I pictured the map, I wasn't even thinking of Alaska. So stupid.
Well, on that note, on a sour note, you are a winner.
Except for Texas. That's where I'm born and raised.
That's right.
It'll always be
the
biggest.
She's trying to make it sentimental.
Texas. Texas
all your
be,
exes.
Yeah, it could be its own country.
Stop it. The Bobby Bones Show. Now a segment we call, What's Wrong With People?
What's wrong with people?
I'll go first. I love TikTok, but there is a new trend on TikTok. It's called the cha-cha slide trend, where you drive your car and you swerve with the music
as
you're driving.
You do it with your car instead of your legs.
Yeah, let's not do this.
Yeah, let's not.
TikTok has been trying to remove the videos, but people are reposting them and they're posting them on YouTube. And whenever Mr. C here goes, slide to the left, slide to the right. You go your car to the left, you go to the right. And then you crisscross you back and forth real quick.
What do you do when you cha-cha real good?
Break stop. I don't know. That part I made up. But don't do this. Because it's not just you that's risking injury. It's other people. So whomever thought of this, like, what's wrong with people?
What's wrong with people?
Amy, what do you have?
Okay, so there's this couple that wanted to go to a birthday party, but they have a 9-year-old kid and they didn't have a babysitter or anything. So they just put their kid in a closet and then put some 2x4s over the door and drilled it shut so they could go to the party. And, you know, they didn't have to worry about their kid going anywhere.
Oh, my goodness. But now they have to worry about jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're being charged with endangering the welfare of a child, false imprisonment, and recklessly endangering the welfare of another person, not just a child.
We should put them in a room and lock them out.
That's right.
Or something like jail. Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
Eddie?
Mine, too, is kind of a birthday party. These parents are in big trouble for having a birthday party. 60 to 80 girls at this party, but they were doing a fight club in the basement. I mean, they were all just like, all right, you versus you. Boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple parents are really upset about this, and cops are investigating.
That Fight Club stuff, I just don't find that to be fun. I would not want to fight some. I don't want to get hit.
No, and there were people at the party that said, no, I don't want to do it. And they were like, you'll do it or we're going to beat you up.
No way.
Yeah. What's wrong with people?
What's wrong with people?
I was watching Morgan Number 2 box the other day, speaking of hitting and fighting. And Morgan Number 2 works out at one of my gyms. I have a few boxing gyms here in Nashville. And she, and I've been saying this for a long time, she's just a really strong athlete. They do this thing called Rumble on the Row, where once a year they get people in the industry and they box each other. I have a friend, Anya, who's doing it.
It's for charity.
For charity, yeah. And it's about to happen, so you can't get in it this year. But I would you ever do that?
I'd consider it.
Boom.
Yeah.
Man, I just would not want to go up against Morgan Number 2. She is strong.
I saw that video too, man. It's crazy. She's gotten a lot better.
And I work out with her sometimes, and she's tough, man. Strong. So maybe next year?
Yeah, I'd be down for it. I don't know if I have enough anger to like really punch somebody.
You don't have anger to play a sport.
That's correct.
You're boxing. Like I know.
Well, the UFC people always say they're not angry at each other.
Yeah. I think next year you should do Rumble on the Road for charity. I'll sponsor you.
Okay.
She wears a big robe with my face on it. Big shorts.
It's like those Mexican boxers with patches everywhere.
Let's go over to Morgan Number 2. Morgan Number 2, what's your story?
So everybody doesn't like when you order something and you get the wrong item. You know, that's not exciting. But this 33-year-old woman named Brittany really didn't like it. She went through a Taco Bell drive-thru and ordered some food. Well, I guess they messed up her order and she was really mad at them. So she fired a shot off through the drive-thru. Thankfully, nobody got hurt. But now she is facing a max sentence of life in prison because...
You know, first of all, you can't have a gun if you're not supposed to have a gun. Don't be fine. That stinks.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody was near that, that's like what, attempted murder?
Attempted murder is if you have, don't just be saying stuff.
What is it?
That's what Eddie does.
I didn't this time, though.
It's only if you have intention to try to murder someone, it's attempted murder.
Unintentional attempted murder?
No, it's not attempted murder.
There's a word for that.
I don't know. It's not attempted murder. Out of your mind. Now it doesn't seem so bad because Amy's like, what's attempted murder?
No, it is bad.
Here's who shouldn't have guns. Dumb people and bad people. Mm-hmm. We got to do more to keep guns out of dumb people and bad people's hands.
Yeah.
I should have all the guns because I'm smart. Yeah. People that are smart should have guns. Dumb people and bad people should not have guns. That's when I run for office. I'll be like, you guys know I have guns. I'm a gun guy, Second Amendment. However, we got us no more dumb people, no more bad people. And with that, we shut it down. Morgan Number 2, thank you. And we say, what's wrong with people?
What's wrong with people?
Reckless endangerment, Amy, is what that would be called.
Close.
A crime consisting of acts that create substantial risk of physical injury to another person. There is no intention, but a disregard for consequences. Mm.
That's what my parents that locked their kid and screwed the door shut. They got reckless endangerment.
Not your parents, the ones you were talking about.
Yeah, my parents.
Amy is now taking. She's taking ownership of her people and her story.
No, I'm talking about Sean and Tammy Joe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're the people I'm talking about. They locked their kid up.
It's time for the good news
with Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A husky named Galileo, who ran away from home 18 months ago, is back home with his owner thanks to a Facebook posting. Galileo went missing in Lansing, Michigan when he was just 9 months old, and his owner, Kristen, said she assumed the worst. That is, until she was scrolling through Facebook and saw a picture of Galileo on a page for lost and found pets. Animal lover Vicky Aldoffer found Galileo running wild in a nearby city and was able to coax him in with treats and then reconnect him with Kristen. Of course, Kristen wondered what Galileo was doing. He's out running around. I often wonder that too. Like, what did my dog discover in the one day I couldn't find him? Mm-hmm. Did he have an adventure he's going to tell his kids if he has kids?
There's a whole cartoon about this.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, she has him back home. You know, and a big shout out to everybody who does just like this other woman did here and saw the dog and knew the dog was away from where he should have been. I saw Morgan Number 2 doing this on her Instagram story last weekend. You saw a dog yet, huh?
Yeah, and I found it, took it in, and posted all over social media hoping to find its owners.
Yeah. So everybody that does that, because I think we've all probably grabbed a dog that we knew was probably missing from a home. Shout out to you guys, and then shout out to this. I'll give her Vicky Aldoffer, who found Galileo and got that dog back to that girl. All right, there you go.
That was Tell Me Something Good. The Friday Morning Conversation with
the Black Crows.
Hey, let me say, I'm a huge fan, so for me, this is real cool.
Oh, cheers, thanks.
Just on a personal level, I know Eddie and myself are both
Huge.
Lifelong fans and
killer.
You know, sometimes you get to do something that is really cool to you, and this for me is one of those things. So,
oh, thank you.
you're playing the full record. It's been 30 years. This is what's crazy to me. I was talking to your tech guy a second ago, and he was setting up your guitar, and I said, "What's crazy? Cause I'm 39. I'm about to be 40 years old." As I was such a fan of the first record, and but now they're playing it on some of the classic rock stations, and I'm like, man, I'm getting older. Like some of my songs from back when I was a kid are now played on classic rock radio. How do you guys feel about that?
I mean, in its inception, the architecture of the thing, I mean, I think one of the things that set us apart 30 years ago was that we had a classic sound anyway. You know what I mean? I think, you know, besides the Rolling Stones and the Faces and that whole sort of connection, you know, we were just influenced by roots music, and it seemed like that was the inspiration that carried a certain era more than others. You know what I mean? The 80s come along, and it's like no one wants to have those kind of sounds or those textures and colors and stuff. But I mean that. I mean, the reality is that you know you see it all the time. I mean, now it's different. There's no like rock and roll bands and scenes and the same thing. It's more pop driven, producer driven kind of stuff. But that we're even here talking about it is incredible. Besides, you know, so wherever anyone wants to hear it or play it, that it makes a connection. Emotionally or whatever, you know what I mean? That's really ultimately the I think what we, in our own blind way, crawling across the cave floor, that would be our future. That's what you're shooting for as a songwriter. Hopefully something that can, you know, its trajectory can go far, you know?
You know, I wonder what the scene was like for you guys, because at the time, we'll just go like to 1990, 89, I mean, there's the 80s thing that's kind of wrapping up. There's the pop thing. You guys sound like nothing else at the time.
Yeah.
You know, now we look back and it just fits because it's been in our life for so long. But at the time, here you guys, you're kind of a, without being a Southern rock band, you're a band that does rock and roll from the South. And there is a difference.
Of course.
Because I don't feel like you're a Southern rock band, but you're definitely a band from the South that does rock. What were your contemporaries and peers thinking about your sound when it was so different?
Well, we were laughing... We were laughing at dinner last night. Like, I can remember, and we were just in Atlanta, so I saw some old friends, you know, that we've been friends with musicians since the 80s. And, you know, the punk rock and indie rock was the whole scene, you know. I mean, we come from, you know, our biggest, really, there's no Black Crowes even thinking about being in a band without REM, you know. So them being from Athens right up the road, but the... Not just REM, the whole thing, you know what I mean? The kind of art school derived presentation and the indie rock college vibes, but also their politics at the time, seemingly, you know, what they were, being on an indie label like IRS originally, and just their whole us against them kind of attitude really would have meant a lot to us. But I remember putting like... I had a jean jacket and I sewed an AC/DC patch on the back and like went to the place like where all the musicians worked and hung out, and people were like, what is that, man? You know, like it was like I had broken some taboo or something, you know, and it became a point of contention with some people, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if it's not the Violent Femmes, we can't like be into it or whatever, you know?
How were people classifying you guys back in the day? Like, here they are. Rich, was it... Were you a straight ahead rock band? Was it?
Wasn't much classification. You know, it was. There's an over genrefication that we kind of deal with nowadays. I feel like everyone is almost groomed to genrefy everything. You know what I mean? Well, how does it fit? And that comes more with like some sort of sales. You know what I mean? Like how it's become. You have to fit
in
this
category. Driven,
it's like an industry driven sort of sales pitch. How you're going to do it. And back then, I felt like, at least I felt, but I was living at home. I was in high school. So, but, you know, Chris lived in that neighborhood with all those guys, and he would still go out. He was 2.5 years older than me. So, but the way I felt, we all were just playing music. You know, there were bands doing rock and roll. I mean, Driving and Crying, you know, in Atlanta, and you know,
pretty pure rock and roll. I mean, I always associated us with just rock and roll music.
Yeah.
And even now, you know, this where we are 30 years later, it is funny. We're, you know, going out playing Shake Your Moneymaker, which we never did then. You know, when that record came out, we were never clever enough to really like play the album in its entirety, or, you know, we'd been writing songs and playing cover tunes and expanding our thing. And, you know,
it was like 7 months between finishing that record and putting it out, and we thought it was like 18 years. We're like,
you feel like you're over it?
Yeah, with this
record. You're like, we just spent all this time on
this record's never coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris and I just wrote songs all the time. So when we first started, you know, we started playing new songs and we were changing up the set list, adding cover tunes, and, you know, kind of ran away from Shake Your Moneymaker. We were like, you know, this was the stepping point that we were on, but, you know, this is where we're going, you know, moving forward.
When you play a full record from beginning to end, and again, the Black Crowes are here, and the whole deal is they're doing massive dates. The world tour begins June 17th in Austin, and it's just June until the end of September. And you can go over to the Black Crowes Instagram or to the website at the Black Crowes to see all their concert information. But when you do you have to learn songs? Because I would assume some of those album cuts you never played really to begin with. Like, do you have to go and be like, wow, man, I haven't played this in forever?
I mean, you know, it didn't, like, Strutting Blues from that record was a song that we hadn't even thought about playing since 1990. And when we sat down, you know, we've put together a really unique and special band, we feel. But it, again, yeah, of course it makes it new, you know, it makes it really, you start scratching your head like, why didn't we? That's a cool song. We should have been playing it this whole time, you know, but... Like, you know, you just, when you're in the heat of the thing, and again, you know, the world was so different, especially when everything's the first time for you, you know, your eyes are open so wide, and all those experiences and the transformation that you go through, you know, it's been 30 years of constant touring and making records, for better or for worse, he and I together, and then our time apart. You know, I put together a band, Rich put together a band, so we're still out there, you know.
Did you guys have to, you talk about your time apart, did you have to get together after 5 years of not talking and be brothers again first? Or did you go, hey, we want to get the band back together, let's also be, like, what was that timeline?
I mean, it was more about Chris and I. You know, we had been offered every year since we split up. Yeah. Tours. Every year someone would call someone that worked for us and said, hey, do you guys want to go on tour?
There's an offer,
a big offer to do a tour, and we just weren't ready. And so to me, you know, I no matter how much you try to ignore the fact, or, you know, for whatever reason, like, oh yeah, I can do this without him, or I can do these things, there was always something for me that was missing. I would write these songs. I always write songs for Chris. That's just how I do it. You know, it's like, maybe it's just from when I was 17 and writing these songs for Chris, but that gets ingrained in your system. And so when I would write these parts and I'd write these choruses, that I would be like, man, this is perfect for him. But then he's not there. And so to me, that is sort of symbolic of the overall thing, you know what I mean? Because it's all three of them are really tightly wound, you know, being brothers, being creative partners, and being in a band together and traveling and living together for a long time. And to have that being sort of not be there was always felt really odd to me. And so to me, I was just kind of like, this guy that knows us, who helps us out, you know, when he was the neutral person within the sort of storm. I just remember saying something like, man, I have these songs. I wish, I would love to hear what Chris, you know, I just kind of said it in that way. Like, I really miss my brother. And he was like, you know, he said the same thing, you know? So it was something really like that. And it was more important for us to be brothers again, and to have our kids and, you know their uncle, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think the cynicism around it, and granted, that's a legitimate, you know, mindset, because of the way things work and the way bands work and the way it looks on the outside would be, oh, you know, again, we were talking about this at dinner last night. It could Rich and I put the Black Crowes together and there's all this money on the table and all these big tours and everything, and what, show up in different cars and get on stage and look at each other and try to pretend? I mean, our music comes from, you know, we've always thought that the music drives, I don't know, a certain authenticity about our experience, you know, about what we want to accomplish as artists. That wouldn't play into that, you know. And for better or for worse, and, you know, the good and the bad, and that essence of something that we were excited about as kids about music and then wanting to be a part of that. Like, if, for me, as naive as it sounds, if that isn't there, then I won't do it. In the same way, like, you know, having to deconstruct my whole life outside of the Black Crowes and wander off into the psychedelic wilderness for the last, I mean, 8 years, not including, you know, 2013. I had to do that as well, you know, just to... But again, it's like people, it looks like one thing on paper and it's another thing to do it. It's one thing to go from a giant American rock and roll band to being in a van with some dudes loading up my own gear and like picking up amps every day for a couple of years. And which, but you know what I mean by that? So you have to really be committed either way. But, you know, Rich and I, too, like, we're, you know, the brother part of it is, you know, I have my kids, you know, my daughter's 10. She's like, Dad, like, what's the deal with you and this guy who's your brother? You know, like, I have cousins and I don't know them, you know, like, and my, you know, the older kids, you know. And so that kind of stuff starts to be like, yeah, you know, it'll get in there and marinate a little bit on, like, you know, go through lots of changes in your life, you know, like just trying to be in a, as we move on, there's so much negativity in the world and there's so much pain and chaos in the way people are feeling about things, that if we could, like, you know, just be in the moment and find, oh, put it aside, you know what I mean, and find some positive perspectives about things. And again, you know, you don't, it's not a big chasm for Rich and I to cross to say, oh, you know, we like Shake Your Money Maker. We're proud of it. We're proud of our band. You know what I mean? And we've said for a long time, given our, you know, Rich and I always got along when it was just he and I writing songs, you know, whether that's in a hotel or at the studio or at a house we would rent to get together to, when it was just me and him, we never fought about songs, you know what I mean? We might fight on the road, we would fight maybe in the studio when it was time to record those songs, but in their inception, and that creative energy, that was always like the, you know, the real blissful thing about it, you know, and the thing that keeps you really interested about the whole process, you know.
Well, I should apologize to you guys because I was probably 9 years old and I got you guys CD from Columbia House. So I was supposed to like get 8 of them for a penny and then buy a subscription.
By the way, young people right now, Google Columbia House and it'll tell you what it used to be.
Never bought the subscription, boys. I got to be honest with you. I got my Shake Your Money Maker, never paid for the...
We did it too.
Okay, just making sure.
I got my Candy-O by the cars and never looked back.
It's been weighing on my heart for a lot of years. So to have you guys in front of me to be able to apologize like that.
Well, don't apologize to us. It's the fine people at Columbia House, you know.
How old were you guys when you went, all right, this is really going to be a thing that we're going to pursue with our lives, like put it all, and the Black Crowes are a thing?
I kind of just felt like it was a train that we jumped on without really, we never really discussed it.
Yeah,
it just kind of just happened, you know. It's just like...
Classic Dust Bowl scenario.
We got some... you know, my dad had a guitar and I would play it and he was just like, don't play that. That it was too nice, you know?
Yeah.
So he bought it. He had a
nice guitar.
He had a nice guitar cause he was a musician, you know? And so he bought us instruments for Christmas when I think I was 14 or 15. And it just was like, all right, well, we're going to do this now, you know? And we immediately started a band. Our cousin got drums and then we just started playing.
I mean, it was punk rock, you know. Punk rock allowed the early hardcore scene in America, you know, in Atlanta. We had, you know, a pretty vibrant, I mean, it wasn't lots of people, but, you know, that was, you know, we were, I wasn't interested in MTV and clean things and 80s things. And you know what I mean? I was always interested in other stuff. So, you know, well, what did we have access to? You know, like an all ages hardcore matinee at the Metroplex. It started at 2 o'clock to 5 on Sunday, and you could get back home and do your homework. But you could also be with all these disparate sort of entities of different kinds of people. You know, like he's talking about being Southern. That's our South is the weirdo South. You know, it's the, you know, you people go, some people will go to University of Georgia or whatever, or go to Alabama or go up to Knox or whatever, and they'll join a fraternity and they'll go to the football games, and they'll, that's where their life starts. And ours was like, no, we're gonna move to East Atlanta with the musicians and poets and junkies and drag queens and, you know, all the kind of marginalized people of that time. But that's where all the art was, that's where the sweet spot was, you know, that's where the adventure starts, you know. And again, that, you know, it's so funny because that kind of energy really, I could still tap into that, you know. I, as a dyslexic child of the South, you know, I've always been on the, my mind works and has put me outside of the box. So, you know, as the leader of the Black Crows, you know, for lack of a better word, that's where we've always been, in a sense, you know what I mean? And in the best way, in the way that, you know, in the way that I've always been touched by any creative expeditions that are outside the box just a little bit. It's not exactly what you think it is, you know. And I think some of that early stuff was also like, you know, we live in an age, it's hard for young people, I think, today to even comprehend, because what you see in entertainment today is so compliant. Everyone wants to get over. No one would ever ruffle any feathers. No one would say that. Don't do that. You can't do that. And you know what I mean? And we were defiant, you know, and rock and roll to me is still a level of, you know, defiance, you know. I mean, I think our, where we are, of course, in our 50s is a lot, you know, the, your energy level of defiance changes. And, you know, and like I said, the opportunity for Rich and I to like heal our families and, but then if it comes with this, you know, big package that's nice with us getting, you know, playing these songs that we love and things are going so, you know, it's really nice. You know, I think it feels good to be selling, you know, tens of thousands of tickets and having people excited. And like I said, put this band together to revisit this music and, excuse me, to look at it in a new way. I mean, I keep saying and laughing, like for us to just come play that record in its sequence and no jamming and no, you know, I mean, all of us have been so expansive in our music and where we wanted to go and improvisation and all these things. And to kind of full circle come back around like what we were talking a second ago about just the rock and roll, you know, like loud guitars, no in-ear monitors, no computers, no, you know. That's what it's about, you know. I want that air moving off the stage of those guitars and that sound, and I want that energy, and that's the energy that fuels that the performance that, that, you know, is the front person that, you know, probably most people expect me to be. You know, that's like something that's not a challenge. It's like a gift, you know, like, okay, you know, you haven't seen this. You didn't see it then when it came around, and now you haven't seen it in a long time, and it's, it makes it unique, I think.
The Shake Your Moneymaker 2020 World Tour tickets and VIP packages are on sale right now. Blackcrows.com, Crows with an E. Any hardcore fan like myself would know that. I would never go to Crows without an E, just so you guys know, ever.
Well, we, you know, we did that on purpose just for that reason.
Yeah. begins in Austin, Dallas, all the way through, and they're going to play the full record. And you're saying this. You're saying you're not going to go and change the melodies up of some of my favorite songs, and I'm going to be going, no, I can't sing along because you're singing, you're right to it. You're sticking with it.
These are like, yeah, we whipped through thick and thin from that record. It's about 2 minutes, and we all looked around, and you know, when was the last time we played a two-minute song? Like, let's play it again. It was so good, but... But that's, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, and yeah, I couldn't be more excited about that after all the wild and woolly years to like focus on these songs and what they really are, you know. That's what it's about.
Black Crowes are here. They're going to play us a song now, which I've, you know, heard this thing covered so many times. And you ever hear a really cool cover of She Talks to Angels and it sticks with you and you go, man, that was a heck of a cover.
Who's the biggest country artist now?
Luke Bryan.
Okay,
Chris Stapleton.
Luke, why aren't cover this song? Put it on your record.
Oh, listen.
His will be the best one.
I think that if you guys came around now, you would be a country, like a rock and roll country act. How do you feel about that? That statement.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe for a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if they let people like us.
You
do
don't
that
like too. The statement. Okay. All right. All right.
I'm just saying I like it, but we, you know, see, it seems like everyone's always really happy and in a good mood, and sometimes rock and rollers are not.
You know, Chris, I do stand up, and I'll be working at theaters, and sometimes people will talk, and I'll have to stop the show and get on to them, and I'll be like, hey, these people didn't pay for you to make jokes and irritate. And I saw the other night that you had that same situation happen. Was that in a theater?
It's so boring, you know, to have to do that, especially because when you're doing something intimate, when you're one person, or in this case, it's just me singing and Rich playing guitar. We don't do it very often.
You got knuckleheads talking and like carrying on with their phones.
But I think it's overall a statement just about a cultural thing, but also just kind of how, you know, cheap music is for the average person. Like you truly will throw down $50, $100 for you and your date, and you come and you why? You could go to a bar and watch all the TV monitors of all the people talking about sports or what, you know what I mean? There's all these other things to do with your time and money. And the reality is it's disrespectful to the artist. And it, like you said, it's unimaginably disrespectful to the people around you who actually probably want to hear what's going on.
Like most people came to pay money to watch what they came to, not to hear you talk or tweet or and when someone has their phone on in a really dark room, it's like a little fireball that all eyes are just sucked right over to.
It's so unbelievable.
When I saw that, I was like, I felt that and I loved that. And that just needs to happen in this quiet. If it's a theater show.
Yeah, when there's drums and guitars and
away.
If there's an electric, because I can't hear. Yeah, you're not bothering me if you're, you know, 30 rows back talking about, you know, having your feet scraped or whatever. I don't care.
That's how I feel. Okay, enough of us. Here they are, Chris and Rich, Black Crowes, going to do She Talks to Angels. Hey guys, so because of licensing rules, we can't play anything with music on this iHeartRadio channel or podcast anymore, but you can go to bobbybones.com to see it. We hate that we had to take it down. It wasn't our decision, but I just wanted to keep you up, and we wanted to keep up as much as possible. So go to bobbybones.com to watch or hear whatever you're missing right now, and thank you for listening to the show, and sorry about all the legal stuff. Mr. Bobby Bones. Come on. Holy crap.
Thank you.
Woo! Holy cow. That's a...
When you sing this early in the morning, that's She Talks Angels blues right there.
Holy, how long did that song take to write?
About 20 minutes.
Come on.
Seriously. I mean, when everything's, you know, Bob Dylan says that, you know, like in his like documentary or whatever. When everything's new, you're just... But that's the way it's great songs... Well, I mean, it sounds pretentious to call our own song great.
Oh, okay, let me say it.
I'm like Peter Murphy from Bauhaus.
That's a great song.
Well, but things like that drop in your lap, you know?
Hmm.
And it is funny because the imagery in that song and, you know, a lot of the themes in that song, the darker themes, I didn't really know about. Later in life, I would get to know them quite intimately, some of those themes. But at that time, I think that's the romanticism of the song. Even in a way that, you know, not in a dark romanticism, you know, someone supposing these are the way that life works sometimes hits a chord. I don't know. I'm super proud. I'm proud of that song, you know.
You have songs on your record that are, like you said, 2 minutes, and you're like, Bobby wants the freaking 5.5 minute song that's slow, and we have to. So I appreciate you guys playing that for me.
No, of course.
A little self indulgent question. Just the line, she tells you she's an orphan after you meet her family. Expound on that for a second. Where did that come from?
I had a character kind of study. You know, there was this girl that used to hang out in the scene in Atlanta. And she was a super goth chick, you know. And a super sweetheart girl. I did see her take a yuppie dude off the bar stool at the White Dot with a beer bottle once for not bothering for bothering her, which I thought was pretty punk at the time. And the guy deserved every second of that, you know. I don't know. I just started to, in my mind, you know, like I said, I was drugs and, you know, all these things. And I was just kind of like, oh, why would you? Not that this person, I didn't know really about her. I just used her as a physical thing, her goth look with black eyes. And but if you found yourself in that situation, it might have been, you know, how does your family, you know, maybe, you know, it would be kind of like, oh, this is my mom and dad. I'm an orphan, you know, like just her sadness or melancholy about what drove her to be in that place, you know. But I think it really, at the song has a lot of light in it as well, you know, that it's not all depressing.
The Shake Your Moneymaker 2020 World Tour, and you know, you're all over the country and a lot of our cities, and I will be at one of these shows. You're doing some place, you're doing a couple nights. I know in Nashville you're doing two nights, but everybody go buy the VIP packages. What does that mean? Do they get to
I mean, I wanted them to be able to like do our laundry. And,
they would. You know, they would.
You know,
like,
you know, make an omelet or something. Forage for mushrooms around the venue. I don't know, something cool.
Blackcrows.com. Tickets and VIP packages on sale now, and go see the tour. You're playing all the hits from the Shake Your Moneymaker, all the songs, but are you also playing the hits afterward? Because if I want to see some other songs.
Yeah, we can't. Okay. I mean, we can't. Play, we can't get, you know, we have to play Remedy, we have to play Sting Me and Wiser Time and Sometimes Salvation and Aiken Spirit. You know, there's lots of songs are soul singing, and there's lots of songs I think that our audience, they want, you know. Then
I'm your audience. And, what
and
I want.
I hear you.
Yeah, me.
And by the way, we've made it very difficult for people over the years. Again, which is funny, you know, everyone's like, if you had any regrets, would you do anything different? I'm like, no, nothing. I mean, it is what it is, you know. How do you know when you're a kid and you're shot out of a cannon of success and you land in a pool of sharks who have been in there for a long time, you know? So we had to learn on the run, you know. So now 30 years later, we're ready to play the songs everyone wants to hear. All right.
I will be there. Thank you, guys. Been, again, a real treat for me to have you guys in
Thank
the room,
you, man.
Talk
Cheers.
To you, for you to play.
Thank you.
The Black Crows, again, go to their Instagram, The Black Crows, for follow them on Instagram, all the ticket info, and I'll see you guys this summer.
Right on.
There they
on.
Are. Black Crows, everybody.
Yeah.
Fight. Congrats, Bobby Bones, on your ACM win.
Grind.
ACM.
Congrats, Bobby Bones.
Repeat.
National Air Personality
of the Year, baby.
Win.
Love you.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Yeah, I like it.
The Bobby Bones Show.
I want to put on Ryan Harmon, who I got to know in the audition process of American Idol. Hey, Ryan, what city do we meet in? Savannah, Georgia?
Hey, Bobby, yeah, that's right. We met in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
Beautiful downtown Savannah.
So, Ryan is a country singer. You'll see Ryan on this week's episode of American Idol where I'm mentoring him, and he goes in. I won't tell you if he made it or not, that you'll have to watch on Sunday night to see. What was it like for you in Savannah right before you walked in to see those judges?
You know, it was really the whole day kind of leading up to that. It's just kind of a weird experience. You know, you don't really go through something like that every day. But well, you know, we were there for probably 14 hours. But the whole time, you know what's going to happen, and you know that you're going to walk into that room and play in front of three of the biggest artists in music right now. And but once it actually happens, it's just different. It actually kind of felt like I was watching TV when I walked in the room, because you know, they got everything lit up so well, and it really felt like I was watching TV rather than being on it.
Well, be sure to check out Ryan Harmon. He's a contestant on season 3 of American Idol. He'll be on Sunday night in the audition. You're still in Arkansas, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where you live right now?
I know Lamar, Arkansas.
I know Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar just outside of Clarksville.
We used to play ball in Lamar because everybody cares where I used to play ball in high school.
Right outside of Clarksville?
That's right. All right. Hey, Ryan, good to talk to you, bud.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, Bobby. I really appreciate it.
On Instagram, he's Ryan Harmon Music. That's it for us. Appreciate everybody. You guys can follow us on Instagram at Mr. Bobby Bones. Amy, what's going on with you this weekend?
I have friends in town, and we're just going to have a lot of fun with the kids. Like, yeah. I don't know. We'll just see what happens. What about you?
Caitlin's in town.
That's right.
We're also playing in Tampa at...
Oh, yeah.
So we have a pretty busy weekend. Mm-hmm. So I got a girlfriend in town, and then... Sunday, we're in Tampa, Plant City, Florida, playing the Strawberry Festival. Eddie and I, the Raging Idiots, are. So see you guys. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Bye, everybody.
Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.